Well, that children's story was a little convoluted, so you can guess what to expect in the sermon, I would think. There's just some pretty crazy stuff going on with the lectionary today, I think. It's clear, of course, as I said at the beginning of the service, that we get Jesus in the desert because we're introducing Lent and the 40 days. What's not as clear is this whole baptismal thing. All three, if we accept Peter's connection between Noah and the flood, all three refer to baptism, which is then the greater theme, right? The theme of baptism. And so I was reflecting on this today and feeling like there was something in that for us and for me. So, in part, I think because all since Epiphany, you probably remember, I've been talking about how something has really happened with Jesus, going back to Jesus' baptism. The first time we talked about it in January, something really happens. It's not like Jesus has some sort of emotional experience. It's not just that he has a vision. It's that heaven's open, the Spirit comes down like a dove, the voice comes out of heaven. And this all signifies that there's this, that Jesus is standing in a deeper and greater reality than the rest of the people standing around there. That something has occurred in the baptism that demonstrates that Jesus is planted and stands firmly in the spiritual world. And so since then, I've been talking mostly every Sunday about how this is true for us now, and how this provisional temporal world, the world that we call reality, is only secondarily real. There's nothing substantial, finally and lastingly, about this world, about what we can taste, touch, feel, our five senses. All of that we grapple with is illusionary at some level, because the spiritual world undergirds that, and that's the truly real. And now, in Jesus Christ, we stand too in that greater reality. And so it seemed to me that that's part of this connection between baptism and Lent. So if you can follow me here. Well, first of all, let's just remind ourselves what Peter says. So Peter's talking about suffering. First Peter is a book, a letter that's being written to Christians who are facing suffering and or presumably will be facing suffering. And Peter is saying, here's how to stand firm, here's how to be encouraged in this. It's a theme that runs through the whole book. And Peter has already introduced Jesus in chapter 2 and his suffering. He's introduced the reality of suffering for his audience, the people he's writing to, and he's pointing them to Jesus, his suffering as an example, and he returns to this again in chapter 3. We will face suffering. It's better to suffer for doing good than to suffer for being evil. Again, it's something he's repeating. And then he points us to Jesus, who suffered even unto death at the hands of humanity, and yet he was put, though he died in the body, he was made alive in spirit. And then Peter says, and in the spirit he went and preached to spirits in prison. We're not entirely sure what he means by that, but there are some theories out there, some interpretive guidelines if you want to chase that down. And then he says that Jesus, that these spirits were the ones who were disobedient during the time of Noah when God was patient. These are themes that are important, the patience of God, the disobedience, and God's final judgment on those who are disobedient. All these are important for Peter to encourage and strengthen the Christians who are facing persecution and suffering at the hands of their contemporaries, their fellow countrymen. And then Peter goes on to say, Noah was saved through the flood, and this is a type which was fulfilled in baptism. Baptism is the antitype. Our translation said corresponding, but corresponding means that this was the shadow of the reality, that God used the flood in order to teach us about Christian baptism. In the same way, baptism saves you. Now we of course know that Peter can't be right, that he didn't mean that baptism saves us, but he does mean something. Something happened in baptism. It's a very real thing, and this is my whole point since the baptism of Christ. There has been an ontological shift, ontological, the study of being. You are a new creature, as Paul says in the Corinthians correspondence. If anyone is in Christ, behold, it is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. And as I've said several times, and I want to repeat it to you, this is not an emotional experience. It's not something you have to wish to happen. It's not something you have to talk yourself into. It's real. And you need to begin to accept that reality and adjust your intentionality accordingly. God has brought you through judgment in the waters of baptism, just like he did bring Noah and his family and all the animals through the waters of the flood. And when Noah got off the ark, he didn't have to say, "Oh, I pretend I don't see you people because I know God killed you." No, he said, "What the heck? It's a brand new world, entirely new. Nothing is the same, absolutely nothing is the same." And that's where we are in Jesus Christ. Now, in Mark's gospel, because Mark writes in this sort of dramatic way, right? He's a storyteller. This is an oral presentation. The gospel was not written down until 20, 30, 40 years later. And so Mark, because he knows that good storytellers have to keep the attention of the audience, right? That's why teachers throw things at you occasionally, just to keep your attention. Nobody's sleeping now. So Mark goes, immediately, we heard that twice, immediately, coming out of the water, the heavens are open, the Spirit comes down, the voice, immediately, the Spirit, now what we didn't get in the Greek, because our English translation says led or something like that, we didn't get this drove. It's this word that means to throw out or to cast away. It's like you ditching something. Immediately, the Spirit drove Jesus out into the wilderness to be tempted. Why? Why? Immediately, coming up out of the waters. Well, I'd like to present this to you. Sorry, before I get there. And then in Peter, picking up Peter, so just like Noah was saved, we too are saved. Now Jesus then, he picks back up on Jesus. We're saved through baptism by the resurrection of Jesus, and Jesus now is victor, vindicated over all authority and power. Now, says Peter, you need to arm yourself with this attitude, the same purpose. And when we say arm ourselves, we know we are preparing for what? A party? To go to bed? No, we're preparing ourselves for conflict. Why? Because here's what's happened, folks. When you were baptized, and again today, when you renew that baptismal covenant, or when you, you know, dust it off, go find that baptismal certificate and say, "Look, I was baptized. Look at that." When you were baptized, you have now staked a claim, or God has staked a claim in the spiritual world for you. But there's other entities in the spiritual world. Entities that are hostile to God and God's purposes. And as soon as you show up in that spiritual world, the enemy says, "Oh yeah? I know this person. Big, good chance they're going to stand." And away he goes. And he tells you, it was just an emotional experience. Nothing really changed. Remember that, folks? I'm a new person. Nothing really changed. Tomorrow morning. Monday comes. Monday morning. Wow, what happened to Sunday? And the enemy says, "No, I'm not going to let you live this out. I'm going to convince you it didn't really happen, that it was just some sort of daydream, some sort of fantasy, some sort of emotional experience." Immediately, we have to be tested because God has made a claim in the spiritual world regarding you and I. in baptism. He said, this is my child. Not just Jesus, my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. My child, my child, my child, in whom I am well pleased. Of course, through Jesus Christ, we know that. But this is what's happened now. And the enemy doesn't take that lane down. He says, not on my watch. I don't need more of these running around. No. And, you know, go read Screwtape Letters if you want to know how that works out. How easy it is for Satan to tell us that isn't what's really going on, to distract us. So our baptism leads necessarily to the desert experience, because we've now made a claim in a spiritual realm that Satan does not want to honor. And he won't honor it until we fight, until we prove, and mainly we stand. And that's hard enough, standing. We don't need no sort of Schwarzenegger spiritual saints, right? Lean, mean, fighting machines. That's good when it happens, but all we need is someone who can stand. Stand where God has planted you. Now, this is the beauty of testing and trial and temptation, and we use all these words, and they're all true about what Jesus encountered in the desert and what, to a certain extent, we anticipate in Lent. We often think of them as sort of negative things, right? Temptation leads to failing and feeling miserable about our failures. But God's intent is not that we fail. God's intent is that we are proved, and that's what a test is for. I had a teacher, and there's probably other teachers in the audience here, right? But I had a teacher sitting here this morning, so I just said, right? You know, you give tests to show what people know. So here's the kid, right? Oh, we got a burgeoning teacher here, but there we go. A kid will say, oh, I know this stuff. They might not say that to the teacher, but they'll say it to their fellow classmates. Oh, yeah, got this aced, know this stuff. Do they? Well, the test is going to demonstrate what they know and what they don't know, which is why you have a test. Not to sort of revel in their failure, although perhaps there are teachers that revel in the failure of their students, but that's not the point. The point is to say, okay, well, now that we know what you know, we can build on that, right? We can build on that. When we don't know what you know, we don't know how to begin to work with you towards our common goal. This is especially clear in math or something. You miss those opening kind of movements in math and you're sunk. Doesn't matter how many years you study math if you haven't mastered some of the basics. So this is what trials and temptations are. They show us what we know, they show us who we are, and when we fail, and we will, God says, that's great, now we know where we started. It doesn't mean that this was a mistake. It means that we just need to back up, perhaps, or remind ourselves. I love you. You're my child. In you, I am well pleased. That in itself is a great way to stand. Knowing that, accepting that, living out of that. In a certain way, Lent is like the practice tests, which you've all, if you're of a certain age, you all went through in school as you prepared for diplomas or provincials, you know, these standardized tests that we give to all kids all throughout the province. And the teachers and the school and the administrators are pretty anxious about this. They're all like, okay, you need to teach towards the test, right? And you need to give practice tests. And so Lent is kind of a practice test. It's where we choose where we want to be tested on. You know what? I think I'm okay, as I said at Ash Wednesday, I think I'm okay quitting smoking. You know, because it's been 30 years. I think I'm probably okay with that one. I can sail right through there. But no, realistically, maybe we set something up, a goal for ourselves. That we're like, yeah, I feel like I need to kind of test where I am with this thing. I gave up, I think I've said this before, I gave up checking hockey news, or hockey updates, or sports updates during Lent 1 year. I never picked it back up. As I always say, I am an Oilers fan, and back then it was easy to quit checking stats. It's a bit of a temptation this year, right, Gord? I don't know how they're doing, but they were doing really well back in January. I gave in a little bit, but it was before Lent. Yeah. But yeah, test yourself a little bit. What do you know? Really? Is this true about you? Who are you as a child of God? Are you growing? What? You're giving up what you gave up 16 years ago? Well, that's hardly progress. You know? Take the advantage to demonstrate, to prove, to grow, to become big, whole, healthy, wholesome in the spirit realm. Wow, how exciting. Right? How exciting. So, anyhow, this is the kind of the tie, I think. And like I said to the children, there's this deep comfort that God has chosen us in Jesus Christ. And it doesn't have to be the baptismal certificate, but pulling out that reminder when things are hard and things are tough and the enemy has got your ear and he's saying, you're not going to do this. You can't. You know yourself better than that. You say, time out. That's the old script. Here's the new script. God just told me he's well pleased with me. He called me beloved. Go figure. That's where I want to live. And in Lent, we can begin to spread our little wings out a bit and test the air currents. Come, Holy Spirit, lift your children up, your people. Make them whole, healthy, vibrant. Plant them firmly in the love of God. And through them, bring glory to your name. Amen.